This is the fifth day of this January 2015 Rohatsu 7-day session. And today we'll take up a koan. This is from the Book of Serenity, also known as the Book of Equanimity, Shoyo Roku, originally. And it's number 23, Ludzu Faces the Wall. Whenever Ludzu saw a monk coming, he would immediately face the wall. Hearing of this, Nanxuan said, "I usually tell monks to realize what has existed before the universe unfolded, to understand what has been before Buddhas appeared in the world. Still, I haven't found one disciple or even a half. If he continues that way, Ludzu will go on till the year of the donkey." We don't have much information about Ludzu. There isn't much to be had. If it's not in the source I'm reading from now, Zen's Chinese Heritage, it's not likely around anywhere. This is by Andy Ferguson, big, massive collection of biographical material and teachings by the Chinese masters. We do know that he was a disciple of the great Mazu. Mazu is his name in Japanese. His name is Basso. Mazu is one of the half dozen most distinguished of the Chinese masters from the Tang Dynasty. He supposedly had 139 enlightened disciples. It says Ludzu did not leave a record of his origins or fate. Nonetheless, he figures prominently in Zen history for his unorthodox teaching style. And yes, when students would come to ask about Zen, he would often turn and silently face the wall. And the story says here that the Ludzu facing the wall has been a koan for generations of Zen students down to the present. Just one dialogue here. When Dongshan came, another great master from China, when Dongshan came to pay his respects, he bowed, stood up, and stood there attentively. After a while, he went out and then came back in. Ludzu said, "Just so, just so. So it's like this." Dongshan said, "There are many who don't approve." Ludzu said, "Why must you speak contentiously?" And then Dongshan bowed. One other then. A monk asked Zen Master Ludzu, "Who are all the Buddhas and saints?" There are no saints in Zen. But let's leave the translation as it is. "Who are all the Buddhas and saints?" Ludzu said, "Not the ones with crowns on their heads." The monk said, "Then who are they?" Ludzu said, "The ones without crowns." And now Nanxuan, his Japanese name is Nansen, perhaps best known as the teacher of the great Zhao Zhou, Joshu. he also was a disciple of Ma Zhu. So they were, of course, contemporaries, as we know from the koan. Nanchuan's years were 748 to 835. Before coming to Ma Zhu, Nanchuan was already widely versed in the various schools of Buddhism and the sutras of Mahayana Buddhism. At their first meeting, Nanchuan is said to have, quote, instantly forgotten the net of delusions and delighted in samadhi. That's what the record says from that time. When Ma Zhu was serving rice gruel to the monks from a bucket, this was the standard procedure at meals. The monks would eat in the zendo, facing out, and usually it was not the master, it was a couple of monks assigned to the job, would move down the rows of monks with a bucket of rice gruel, and serve each monk. But for some reason, Ma Zhu himself was doing this, and as he gave out portions, he asked, "What's in the bucket?" We don't know what the other monks, how they responded, but when Ma Zhu came to Nanchuan and said, "What's in the bucket?" Nanchuan said, "The old monk should say this with his mouth closed." After Nanchuan got Dharma transmission from Ma Zhu, he built a solitary hut on Mount Nanchuan. That's no doubt how he got his name. First there was the mountain by that name, and then, as was often done, the monk took his name from the mountain. He built a solitary hut on Mount Nanchuan and remained there for more than 30 years practicing Zen. This is after Dharma transmission. He remained there for more than 30 years practicing Zen. And then there was a high-ranking official who invited Nanchuan to come down off the mountain and honored him by becoming his student. And due to this event, Nanchuan's reputation spread widely, and students numbering in the hundreds came to train under him. This reminded me of how today there might be a celebrity who would find some kind of a yoga teacher or another kind of teacher, and then when the word got out that this celebrity was working with that teacher, then others would flock to get in on the action. Here's a dialogue. It's just Nanchuan entering the hall, addressing the monks, and he said, "Dipamkara Buddha said, the arising in mind of a single thought gives birth to the myriad things." The arising in the mind of a single thought gives birth to infinite numbers of things. And then he says, "Why is it that phenomenal existence is empty? If there is nothing within mind, then how does one explain how the myriad things arise? Isn't it as if shadowy forms differentiate emptiness? This question is like someone grasping sound and placing it in a box, or blowing into a net to fill it with air. Therefore, some old worthy said, it's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not a thing. Thus, we just teach you brothers to go on a journey. It's a good question he poses there. If there's nothing within the mind, how does one explain how all the many phenomena appear? Once Zen Master Nanchuan said, Master Madzu said, that's his teacher, remember, mind is Buddha. But this old teacher doesn't talk that way. It's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not a thing. Is there any error in speaking thus? And then Zhao Zhou, Nanchuan's disciple, bowed and went out. So these became two separate koans in the Mumonkan, Madzu saying mind is Buddha, and Nanchuan saying it's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not things. You could take either side. In Zen, the words are not important. Say mind is Buddha, okay. Say Buddha, it's not mind, it's not Buddha, it's not a thing. Either side. Here's another one. When Zen Master Nanchuan ascended the Dharma seat in the hall, the official Lu Gong said, that's the high government official who coaxed him off the mountain, said, we invite the master to expound the Dharma for the sake of beings. Nanchuan said, what would you have me say? Lu Gong said, can the master offer no expedient method to enter the way? Nanchuan said, what do you say is lacking? Lu Gong said, why are there 6 realms and 4 modes of birth? Nanchuan said, I don't teach that. So we have this apparently very influential government official who really introduced Nanchuan to the world, trying to coax a talk out of him. Nanchuan was not up for it that day, or not wanting to presume to teach Zen. What would you have me say? Well, can't you offer something? What's lacking? Why do you need me to say anything? So then the official wants to get him going. So, all right, what about then? He brings forth this aspect of Buddhist doctrine. Why are there 6 realms and 4 modes of earth? I don't teach that. It's not entirely different, this exchange, from the way today's koan begins. Whenever Mudzu saw a monk coming, he would immediately face the wall. As Rinzai said, to speak of a thing misses the mark. Here's a famous one. I remember Roshi reading when this high government official, Lu Gong, took leave from Nanchuan to return to his duties as magistrate of Xuancheng City. Nanchuan asked him, when your eminence returns to Xuancheng, How will you govern the people there? Lugong answered, I will use wisdom to govern them. Nanchuan said, in that case, the people there will meet with great distress. The way another translation had it was, I will govern the people with wisdom and compassion. In that case, every one of them will suffer. And then this one, when Nanchuan was near death, the head monk said, Master, where will you be 100 years from now? Nanchuan said, I'm going to be an ox living down at the bottom of the mountain. He's saying, I will be working to serve others. The ox is a beast of burden, of service. I'm going to be an ox living down at the bottom of the mountain. The monk said, may I follow you to that place as an ox? Nanchuan said, if you follow me, you must do so with a single blade of grass in your mouth. The master then became ill. He said to the monks, the star's light is dim, but eternal. Don't say that I'm coming or going. When he finished speaking, he died. Now back to the koan. Lu Zu faces the wall. Whenever Lu Zu saw a monk coming, he would immediately face the wall. Period. There are three other koans in the collections of koans where the master doesn't speak. There's a koan in the Blue Cliff Record, number 92, the world honored one ascends the seat. This master is the Buddha himself, where he took his seat on the platform, and then his attendant, Manjusri, struck the table with a gavel and said, clearly understand the Dharma of the King of the Dharma. The Dharma of the King of the Dharma is like this. And at that, the world-honored one descended from his seat. Here, yes, there's the silence, but now it's Lu Zu is turned, facing the wall, his back to the monks. And that facing the wall has a lot of significance. He's first of all demonstrating, he's modeling the primary method in the Zen school. Facing the wall. Facing oneself. facing one's pain, facing one's joy, facing everything, facing nothing, seeing that everything is nothing, ultimately. Seeing that from the very beginning there has never been a single thing. There's a passage by a Shak Soyin, one of the earliest of the Japanese Zen teachers in this country. It's entitled "The First Step in Zen." Zazen is not a difficult task. Just free yourself from all incoming thoughts and hold your mind against them like a great iron wall. Think of your own room, the Zendo, as the whole world, and that all sentient beings are sitting there with you as one. Realize that your body is not your body. It is a part of the whole body of sentient beings. Your mind is not your mind. It is but a constituent of all mind. Your eyes, your ears, your nose, your tongue, your hands, and your feet are not merely your individual belongings, but one in joint ownership with all sentient beings. You simply call them yours and others. You cling to your own being and consider others separate from you. It is nothing but a baseless delusion of yours. Just free yourself from all incoming complications and hold your mind against them like a great iron wall. First he said, free yourself from all incoming thoughts. Now he broadens it, all incoming complications. No matter what sort of contending thoughts arise in you, ignore them, and they will perish and disappear of themselves. And just as soon as your thought expands and unites with your mind, really, as soon as your mind expands and unites with the universe, you are free from your stubborn ego. You will then enter into a condition where there is no relativity, no absoluteness. You are now transcendent, far above both discrimination and equality. You have nothing to receive, and there is nothing to receive you. There is no time, no space. There is no past, no future, but one eternal present. This is not the true realization, but you are walking near the palace. Just free yourself from all incoming disturbances and hold your mind against them like a great iron wall. Then someday you will meet you. No, someday you will meet your true self as if you had awakened from a dream, and you will have the happiness you never could have derived otherwise. Zazen is not a difficult task. It is a way to lead you into your long-lost home. Lujzu is not only demonstrating the primary method in the Zen school, but he's teaching. Can you see? Can you hear what he's teaching? Say, look, look yourself, look within. You don't need my teaching. You don't need to be told the way things are, because you yourself are that truth. Don't look outside yourself. What can I give you that you don't already have? And then Lu-tzu's brother monk, Nanchuan, fellow disciple of Ma-tzu, heard of this unusual teaching by Lu-tzu and commented, "I usually tell monks to realize what has existed before the universe unfolded, to understand what has been before Buddhas appeared in the world." Realize what has existed before the universe unfolded. What is that? Don't look back. Don't look ahead. This is this realm of no mind that has existed since before consciousness even has stirred. We can get a sense of it, just a sense, a whiff of this, in the first second or two when we are waking up in the morning. Sometimes it's like this, where there's nothing. This is before there's even self-consciousness, before the world divides into this and that, self and other, now and then. World of bright purity. Unmarred by division. Unmarred by self. In this book, the Book of Serenity, where this koan appears, there's a verse by one of the contemporaries of the author of this this collection of books. This is Hongzhi, Jiantong Hongzhi, and here he is commenting on this koan. In plainness, there's flavor. Here, referring to Lu-tzu's method. In plainness, there's flavor, subtly transcending thought and expression. continuously seeming to exist before any sign. Unbending like an idiot, his path is lofty. Jade, when a pattern is carved, loses its purity. Is Nanchuan carving a design into the purity of Luzu's jade? If so, he's teaching as virtually every other Zen master in the world ever has, using words. Realize what has existed before the universe unfolded. Existed before the universe unfolded? How would that work? To understand what has been before Buddhas appeared in the world, before the world was divided into Buddhas and sentient beings, divided into the enlightened and the unenlightened. This is the source. Realize your original self. It's, to many people who hear this, it may sound impossible. But, of course, it's not. It's by working strenuously, bringing one's attention back again and again and again and again and again and again to the practice. As thoroughly absorbed as possible in the practice, the mu, the who, what, koan, shikantaza, returning again and again and again. And yes, every single person can realize what has existed before the universe unfolded. Understand what has been before Buddhas appeared in the world. It's not something we have to go find. It is our nature, an aspect of our nature, this original self. Beyond time, beyond space. It's all there in the mu. Could you show what has existed before the universe unfolded? How could you show what it is now? How would you show what both Luzu and Nanchuan are teaching? But Nanchuan has one other thing, he says. Still, I haven't found one disciple or even a half. What does he really mean by that? We know he can't mean it literally. He had plenty of disciples, one of them the great Zhao Zhou. And then he finally says, if he continues that way, Luzu will go on till the year of the donkey. Well, even at this time in the 8th century or whatever this was, they had the Chinese had their system of astrology with the 12 animals that we all know from the placemats on the Chinese restaurants that we go to. But look at that placemat next time you're there, and see if you see a donkey among those 12 animals. You won't. So what is Nanchuan saying? Lu will go on till the year of the donkey. Sounds a little critical, a little scornful maybe, but is he? Luzu is already operating out of the year of the donkey. These two are really teaching the same thing. With Luzu, it's implicit. With Nanchuan, it's explicit. Each has his own way of conveying faith. Luzu's faith in his visitors, the monks who come to him, not imagining that they need his words. It's the same faith that in Doksan, the teacher shows in Doksan whenever he rings a student out. You've got it all within you. It's yours. Find it. Every ring of that Doksan bell is a signal of faith in the student. You don't need to tell me. I mean, you don't need me to tell you. If only every student had the same faith in herself or himself as the teacher has, in her or him. But faith is something that grows, unquestionably. We start off with our faith sputtering, tentative, faltering, oscillating between faith and doubt. And the more we persevere, the longer we go at this, the more that faith grows and deepens. It's inevitable. It's a sure thing. And it's that faith in oneself. It's that faith in the method. It's that faith in the practice. The practice in a general sense and one's own particular practice that will determine everything. It's very simple. Very simple. Simple as sitting and facing the wall. time is up. We'll stop now and recite the four vows.